Welcome to the Jodcast, where we teach you how to sell on Amazon FBA in 20 minutes or less. This is Seth Kniep, Kniepin' It Real, your host. And today, I will be walking you through how to find products that can turn your Amazon store into a world-class brand. Why do we call it the Jodcast? Because I started my Amazon journey on a single dime. I don't care how little you have, do not underestimate the value of the cash in your coin tray, of the dollars in your wallet, of the money in your savings. There's so much you can do with that money. Instead of it just sitting, go and invest it. Take that money, leverage it, grow it to build a business. The same reason my wife and I sold almost everything in our house and turned it into cash so that we could build an Amazon business that gave us freedom to do the things we love with the people we love. This Jodcast is devoted to teaching you how to do that so that you don't walk away from a single episode without very specific steps on exactly how to build an Amazon business. It's not too difficult to go find a potential product. It could be done in a few weeks. We go really deep on this in Amazon FBA Mastery, our 5 courses and training program. But you see, here's where people mess up. You are not just looking for products. You are looking to build a brand. There are thousands, tens of thousands, literally, of Amazon sellers who found a great product, failed to build a brand, which means they're leaving massive amounts of cash on the table because they didn't take a few more steps before saying, that's the product that I want. So how do you know that this product you find is actually brandable? How do you know this product can be built into a world-class brand? Because Seth, it has the demand, it has low competition, the reviews aren't too great, so the ease of entry is great. In fact, I even found a fantastic way to differentiate it in a way that no one else is doing. And you're telling me it still may not be brandable? Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Well, today I'm gonna show you how to prevent this from happening. How do I make sure this product is brandable? Well, there are 3 things you're gonna begin with. 3 things that you have to structure or lay out as a plan when you are hunting for products. Number one, you must answer the question, what is your main product category? Like the big picture stuff. Like, for example, it could be home and kitchen products or pet products or scientific and industrial products. Number two, what is your sub product category? In other words, if you picked home and kitchen products as your main category, will your sub product category be kids furniture, bed and bath, home decor, home improvement? And then the final and third question is, what is your final product category? So we went from main, the big level, to sub, to final. So for example, if your sub product category was kids furniture, then what will the actual products be? What category? Are we talking about armoires and dressers, step stools for toddlers, bed frames, chairs and seats for kids, hampers for smelly laundry, nightstands? You have to decide first what's the main category, the subcategory, and the actual final product category. Now, let's just say you settled on the main product category of home and kitchen. And let's just say you settled on the subcategory of furniture, and we'll even go further down to say kids furniture, and the actual final product category you chose was toddler step stools. Seth, that sounds like a product, not a product category. It actually is a category because there are many different kinds of toddler step stools that you could build. Now, here's the key. You are not just hunting for a high demand, high profit, differentiable product. You are looking for products that allow your brand to penetrate a very specific market, resulting in a strong market share. That's why you first have to figure out the category questions, those three questions I just asked you, the main category, the subcategory, and the final product category. Because when you know those categories, you now have a doorway into understanding the kinds of customers who buy in those product categories. The key to building a brand, to finding a product that you can build into a world-class brand, is understanding the buyer you are selling to. That is where the majority of Amazon sellers miss it. They take such a purely step-by-step methodical approach, which I'm not against, by the way, but in their mind, it's like checking off boxes. Well, Seth, I noticed that this product does a minimum of $10,000 in revenue per month. Well, whoopee, good for you. No, but Seth, I also noticed that out of the top 10 competitors, 7 of them have over 100 reviews. Well, whoopee, good for you too. Oh, but hold on, Seth. I also noticed that the people writing complaints in the reviews on the competitor products keep complaining about this one thing, and I fixed it. I found a way to differentiate my product. So shouldn't I be good now? The problem with this approach, as good as it is, it's not enough, because all you've done is you've just checked off each box. My question remains, what about the person who's going to buy the product? You can't just find great products. You need products that will build a strong brand presence. Let me give you an example. If the product type you settle on is kids' furniture, then your market is parents. In fact, if the final product category is step stools, then clearly your market is parents, because those are the ones making the final choice, shelling out the dollars to buy that furniture piece for their child. Now, you could easily find a kids' furniture product, but the question is, will it draw the kinds of parents who care a lot about what they buy for their kids? Or will it draw the kind of parent who just buys a kid's furniture for quick convenience, such as a stepping stool for when the kid needs to be able to reach his toothbrush? Hopefully your kid is brushing his or her teeth. You see, if you just find a product that will sell for a profit, but the kind of buyer doesn't care that much about the product, they just want to make sure it does what they want and that's it, it'll be tossed around the house, it'll be kicked, it'll get scum on it, nastiness on it, and they won't clean it. That's not very brandable. That's sort of like buying at Walmart. People don't typically go to Walmart to buy world-class brands. But if you find a product where the parent says, this toddler step stool doesn't just have one level, it has multiple. I like that. Hey, it's not made of plastic. It's made of high-quality wood. I like that. The design is really well done. It's carefully done. It's not just efficient or expedient. It actually looks good. You know what? Honey, look at that. I think that's going to match the design of the other furniture in the house. Oh, and by the way, it's the perfect height for a kid who needs to reach not only his toothbrush in the bathroom cupboard, but the countertop in the kitchen while he or she are playing with toys on the counter while I'm cooking dinner. Do you see what I just did? Now we're talking about a whole psychology. Now we're talking about what people experience, how they think, how they feel when they look for that product. That kind of parent, the one I just described to you, is much more likely to become a brand loyal follower of your Amazon store, which allows you to build a following, which means someday your potential for selling that store for a hefty price and many multiples is powerful. The last I checked, the average multiple for which an Amazon store sells today, and by multiple I'm talking about if you take the revenue per month, is 35 times what it makes per month. If you have a very brandable product, it could easily get to 37, 38, sometimes 55, which is the highest I've ever seen. The 35 multiple I'm talking about is for the most average Amazon store. We're not just talking about the brandable ones. It is the ones that build a brand that sell for so much more. But it's more than just finding the right product. It's more than just finding the right buyer of the product. I do not want to ignore this piece called differentiation. Now, it is possible to differentiate a product and still make it not very brandable, but get sales. So it's not just about differentiating, but how you do it. And I'm going to show you right now exactly how to do that. First of all, By differentiation, I mean something that makes your product different or stand out from the competition. It could be as simple as a different color. It could be as technical as a different material, or even a whole new design of the product itself. Differentiation potential is the number one most subjective criteria when doing product research, because you really can't put it into an Excel sheet. I mean, you could type it in, but it's really hard to quantify. This is where the creative side of your brain and reading the emotion in the customer's critical reviews of the competitor products has a strong play in helping you to decide what is the best differentiation path. In order to establish the differentiation potential of your product, you're going to go look at what customers are saying about the competitor products in their reviews on Amazon listings. Now, you're going to look for two things. Number one, you're going to look for a problem with the product. Remember, you're an entrepreneur, so your job is to find problems. But that wouldn't be good enough, would it? You also must find solutions. You know, I tell my staff, don't ever bring me a problem without a solution as well. Just a few days ago, one of my staff slacked me a problem. And the problem was Caleb. No, I'm just joking. It wasn't Caleb. But the problem was something to do with marketing and content. And I said, in the future, tell me the solution. Even if we don't go with the solution, I must have the solution, because that's what entrepreneurs are. So when you read these reviews, you are looking for problems that are mentioned often, regularly, constantly in the reviews that have not been addressed or fixed by the competitors. Second, you're not only looking for a problem with the product that you can fix, but a way to improve the product, such as making adjustments to the product itself or adding items to turn it into a bundle. For example, if you find the Amazon shoppers are regularly buying activity chalkboards when they buy the toddler step stool, then you might just add the activity chalkboard as part of the bundle. I mean, after all, they're putting both the step stool and the chalkboard in the cart. Why not put them together in the same listing, the same ASIN? See, this improvement may have even been alluded to in reviews where customers explain what else they would like included with the product or what they would like, but could have been focused on more in the product. The most common question I get when it comes to differentiating a product is, Seth, how do I know that my differentiation strategy is the right one? And more importantly, that it's one that's brandable. I'm going to show you right now a special strategy you can use. When studying the complaints in the reviews, do not pick the most commonly asked question. Say, what? Are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. Are you kidding me? Why wouldn't I go with the most commonly asked complaint? I mean, it's the most popular. Yeah, but popular isn't always right, is it? Doing what's right is not always popular. Doing what's popular is not always right. Let me explain. If on three listings, you have 300 reviews on each listing, each saying that the product is too long, that might seem like a strong reason to make your product shorter. After all, it's 900 customers all saying the same thing. But if on 10 listings, there are 30 reviews on each of those listings stating that the product is too short, in most situations, that is actually a better differentiation idea. How in the world could you say that, Seth? You were telling me that something mentioned 900 times is less important point for differentiation than something mentioned only 300 times? Yes, because even though the first issue, it being too long, had three times as many complaints about the product being too long, the second complaint, the item being too short, is spread out over 10 listings instead of only over three. Not only will it be read far more often, I mean, come on, how many people read 100 reviews on a listing before buying it? But it's a more common problem in the market, spread out more evenly amongst products. This is brandable, because if you already found the right kind of product, the kind of product that parents, in this example, kids furniture, really care about, now all you have to do is say, okay, what's the best way to differentiate it? And if that complaint is spread out amongst competitors, that's very strong motivation to differentiate it in that way. I have a simple question for you. What kind of customer are you trying to draw? Rookie mistake number one, obsessing more about the product than the customer who ends up buying your product. You see, when you obsess about the customer, it's really easy to know what product to build for them. But if you only obsess about the product, all the qualifications you use to justify it being a great product, like how many reviews, how much profit, how much demand, even though they are important, they're just checkboxes. And at some point, you might miss the whole point, and that is to build something that they love. Yes, these qualifications matter. But if you want to build a brand that is world-class, start thinking, start obsessing about, start fighting for that customer who will buy your products on Amazon. This is Seth Kniep, Kniep in It Real. You have an awesome day.